Ready for this?
This is Velocity Radio.
Y'all know what it is.
24/7 at velocityradio.fm.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of Tooth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. This is Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman, and we're real excited about our show tonight. We got a very special friend in with us tonight, Dr. Dan Sellner from the Denver Tech Center, and we look forward to a very interactive program. Kenny, you've known Dan for a long time, probably seen him growing up a little bit, and
You know what, Doug? I have. I mean, what a leader in our community, one of the finest dentists that I've ever met. And what's even really exciting in Dan's resume, if you will, he's the team dentist for the Colorado Avalanche, and he's gotten to know all the Av players. Maybe we'll have time
They got to have somebody. Come on.
Well, they do have to have somebody, but they picked the best. Yeah, that's for sure. So it's great to welcome Dan to the show.
Yeah, a little bit about Dan's background. Dan went to Regis High School here in Colorado. He then went off to Nebraska and graduated dental school at Creighton.
Wait a minute. He's not proud of going to Nebraska, is he?
I don't know. We got to ask him.
We'll have to find out.
We'll have to ask him. And then he moved back to Colorado where he grew up. He semi-claims to be a native, but I found out he actually came here when he was three, so we weren't going to allow that. In any event, he started a solo dental practice in Aurora, where he worked for 7 years. And then in 1997, he merged that practice with a dynamite practice that was practicing in Aurora at that time with a Dr. John Bassett and Dr. Jerry Wallace. He'll probably tell us a little bit about that experience. He's had many leadership positions in the dental community, president of the Colorado Prosthodontic Society. He's currently the president of the Denver Academy of Clinical Dentistry, probably one of the finest study clubs in the city, and serves on the peer review committee for the Metro Denver Dental Society. Dan is a big-time sports enthusiast, playing a lot of basketball, soccer. His kids were big soccer players as well, but he's probably best known for his hockey abilities. Maybe that's how he got tied into the Avalanche. We'll have to ask him. He has a terrific family. His passion for dentistry is exceeded by his passion for his kids' activities, and that probably takes up a lot of time because I know his kids, and they're all terrific athletes as well. So welcome to the show, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
You know, Doug, you used a pretty big word in that introduction. Maybe we'd ask Dr. Sellner to explain it to us, the Prosthodontic Society. For our listening audience, would you please explain prosthodontics?
So prosthodontics is the art, if you will, of replacing some portion of the dentition. It can be a single crown. It can be a bridge. It can be all the way up to a denture or, crowns to replace an entire arch.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah.
I know those are the types of treatments that you provide in your office.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be very helpful for our listeners to hear a little bit about your practice as it exists today, maybe even going back with some of the beginning history when you merged with Dr. Bassett and Dr. Wallace and how it's evolved to where you are today.
Sure.
Because it's been just a wonderful story.
Yeah. So As Doug said, I practiced by myself in a small practice in Aurora from 1990 until 1997. And then I was asked by Dr. Bassett and Dr. Wallace to put my practice together with theirs, which was a tremendous personal and professional change and opportunity for me.
Yeah, these aren't two lightweight dentists. These are
no.
These are pretty big time guys.
Yeah, my two older partners at the time were some of the better known dentists around, and continue to be. And so I joined with them and moved my practice and my staff, and we put the thing together. Then we moved about 11 years ago from Aurora to our current tech center location. And about 5 years ago, Dr. Andrea Taylor joined our practice. And at that point, Dr. Bassett kind of retired from doing restorative and the day-to-day dentistry. And he has continued and still does today, 2 days a week. He is in the office just providing treatment for TMJ and occlusal disorders. My other partner, Dr. Wallace, retired January 1 of this year. And since last summer, Dr. Chris Barrett is the new associate in our office.
And, the heir apparent?
Pardon me?
The heir apparent?
Yeah. Well, it's for a long time with Dr. Bassett and Dr. Wallace, I made a big deal out of being the young person and made some age jokes. And unfortunately, those chickens have come home to roost, because now I am referred to as the old guy on almost a daily basis. So be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Well, I agree with Kenny. I think it's one of the finest practices in the
city. Oh, thank you. I'm very lucky to be there.
Yeah, it's nice to have you.
I'd like to hear a little bit, Dan, and I know, again, our listeners, I think, would enjoy hearing a little bit about the philosophy of your practice, because it's considered to be one of the premier practices. You provide unbelievable care to your patients. All of your doctors have and continue to. And so tell us a little bit about the philosophy.
Okay. Well, it's very kind of you to say that. There are a lot of different philosophies and dental practices in this day and age. And I guess my sense would be that it's not that one way of doing things is correct and proper and the other one is wrong. There are just different ways that work for people. And what we have found works for us is we choose not to have a kind of a one-stop shopping attitude where you can come in and every possible dental service that you could desire and need is going to be, you know, done with us by our hands in our office. We provide all of the restorative services, fillings, crowns, cleanings, implants. We do have a particular interest in the TMJ, the occlusion, the bites. We choose to work with a group of specialists for some of the more specific treatments that need to be done, whether it be periodontist, as you guys are, oral surgeons, root canal specialists, orthodontists. And we feel as though by working with such a talented group of people, we can specialize the treatment that we provide for each of the particular patients who happen to walk in the door. And we very much try not to have a cookie cutter attitude that, you know, each patient who comes in with this problem is going to get exactly the same mode of treatment. You know, we try to work with each individual patient to figure out what's the best solution that would fill their needs.
Well, you know, some dentists do try to provide everything.
Sure.
They try to convince patients, right or wrong, that it's more convenient and easier and better for them to go to their offices. Certainly, Doug and I have our bias, but
sure,
I know you do too. Have you ever met a Superman dentist, someone who could do everything really, really well?
Well, boy, that's a tough question. The closest to a Superman dentist that I've probably met is my partner who just retired, Dr. Wallace. He had, you know, a skill set and a experience with residencies and being in the military, and he had done lots of surgery and gingival grafting, and he had done the root canals, and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things that I probably learned as much from him and from I've benefited immensely from my older partners and having them as mentors and kind of modeling after them is just because you can do something doesn't necessarily mean that you're the best person suited to do it. And in my hands and in our practice, I think what we have found is that the chances that I am the most skilled person to do your root canal, extract your impacted wisdom teeth, do your braces, do your gingival graft, place your implant, and also do the, you know, all the restorative aspects in my mind is just not very good. I'd rather be really good at the restorative aspects, and boy, there's so many changes that come about all the time that you need to stay current with, that my plate is extremely full, and I find it very satisfying and challenging just to keep up to date on the portion that I do. And I feel like I have the ability to help my patients and work with the talented specialists in the community. And I think the level of predictability that we were able to give our patients in the end is much higher by utilizing people who have such advanced skill sets in their particular area of expertise.
Yeah. Before we leave this thread of conversation, would it be too far-fetched to then sort of make the same analogy that you probably wouldn't want your family medical practitioner to do your brain surgery, God forbid, if it was necessary? Is that?
Sure. I guess where I would tie it in, my father practiced for a long time as an allergist in the Denver area. And just using that as a point of conversation, you know, there are a lot of things that the pediatrician or the internist or whomever can deal with. But there are specific instances where you really need the specialist and the allergist and their experiences and their knowledge to probably appropriately come to the best solution medically for what should happen with that patient. And if it was someone in my family who needed that, I would be, wanting the opinion of the specialist as to what needed to be done.
You know, it's something that Kenny and I had talked about in one of our first shows is why we went into periodontics. Mm-hmm. And part of it is what you said a little bit is that it's hard to be a jack of all trades. It's just really just not possible to be on top of all aspects of dentistry. Particularly today, you know, things are evolving so rapidly, both technologically and relative to the biology and kind of where we are today and where we were yesterday. Mm-hmm. In particularly in periodontics, and that's the field that we specialize in. But to be able to do that with endo, perio, ortho, like you said, it really would almost be impossible to do it well.
I think it's definitely much more difficult, and I think a lot of it depends on, to me, the geography of where the dentist practices. You know, I'm in a situation where hardly a week goes by where if I don't have a patient in who has kind of a crisis with a particular area, and I can't pick up the phone and call one of my specialist friends and say, you know, this issue is going on, I'm going to have them drive over, and I need you to, you know, have a look at them, and it happens. If I was in a small town, you know, out in rural areas where the closest specialist, was 3 hours away, that's a different deal. And the expectation of those patients is, you know, that you need to deal with that because I have the need right now, and you're the only game in town, and I feel lucky that that's not my paradigm, because I would rather try to sort out what's best for that particular situation. And I feel like my responsibility is to get that person to a solution. And if I can provide that, great. If they need to have, someone else on board, let's make that happen.
Yeah. You know, at teaching at the dental school, we talk to the dental students all the time about how to be a good dentist. And really it's about being predictable. And right. if you're doing things over and over and over again, and you really kind of dial it in, that's kind of what makes you successful. And I always use kind of you guys as the model of that, because you really, really do refer out a lot of things. And it's not because you can't do it. It's because it's just, you think the patient's going to benefit by getting somebody that may be able to do it
right.
a little bit more predictably and a little bit better.
I can remember when I was getting going in my practice, and I knew Dr. Bassett a little bit. I had taken a course that he taught, and one of the things that he, one of the advice that he gave to younger dentists was, he said, make a list of all the things that you can do and you do on a weekly basis, and at the top of the page is the thing you enjoy the most and you are the best at, and towards the bottom of the page are the things that you kind of dread when you see them on the schedule and you don't feel very good at. And your goal as you improve and move along and get more comfortable is you want to rip pieces off the bottom of the paper and say, I don't do that anymore, and send it out to somebody else and spend more time doing the things you enjoy and you excel at. And I think whether you're a dentist or an arborist or whatever it is you do, I think figuring out what part of your day-to-day life and profession you enjoy the most, and try to make yourself the best you can be at it.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, you know, you mentioned that your practice does a lot of TMJ. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that stands for temporomandibular joint treatment, mm-hmm. which is the jaw joint.
Sure.
Where people are coming to you because they may have discomfort or problems, noises, in that joint. So tell us how you have incorporated that into the practice, and just a little bit of an overview of what can be done for these people.
Sure. Well, the reality with the TMJ is there are a lot of people running around who have issues with that. And what we try to do is, as part of our new patient exam, when we see all our patients as part of the screening, one of the things that we do is we look at, you know, their occlusion, and we check things like how far they can open their mouth and their lateral movement, or are there any noises in the jaw joint. And while there are, we don't necessarily feel like every person who has something that is slightly abnormal needs to have treatment. A part of this is making good decisions about, is this something that needs to be fixed and you can help with address it, or is it something that they've been bumping along with this problem for 30 years and it really hasn't gone anyplace, so maybe you're going to take a wait-and-see approach. When we're treating patients, it depends a lot on what the problem is. Is it just, gosh, I'm clenching and grinding my teeth and I'm having a lot of muscle problems and headaches? Is it a problem where, golly, something happened last week and now I can't open my mouth and I have a big crisis? And when the person has the, you know, the I can't open my mouth kind of life-changing kind of situations, those are obviously more important that we treat. And we typically utilize what I would call a splint, which is a appliance that the patient can wear, which helps to give them a more stable place to bite. And we use it as if a person is having a bigger problem as a mode of trying to get them some more comfort by giving them a more stable place to bite. And if we can accomplish that, we really see some tremendous instances where we can really help to take people who are having a big problem and get them to a better place.
You know, we're coming up upon a break, Dan.
Okay.
But when we come back, I'd like to explore that just a little bit more.
Sure.
Because there are so many people who could benefit, and they just don't know where to turn for help.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that'd be great.
And it's not something that everybody treats as well either. So mm-hmm. to get the expert on it would be... would be nice as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's something that we need to explore in a little
okay.
bit more depth.
Happy to.
On the other side. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Limited time offer, 24-month commitment and credit qualification require. Cancellation fee, auto pay, and paperless billing and other restrictions apply. If you can't see the difference, why pay the difference? Switch to Dish for the best deal in entertainment. Only Dish brings you the best in entertainment for less than $20 a month. Cut the cable and don't get directed. Switch to Dish because at just $19.99, Dish saves you every time you turn on the TV. It's so simple. The same channels cost less with Dish. So since you can't see the difference, don't pay the difference. Switch to Dish for the best deal in entertainment. Get premium movie channels free for 3 months, starting at just $19.99. Dish saves you every time you turn on the TV. Call now to save with Dish. Dial 1-800-943-9074. That's 1-800-943-9074. The same channels for less than $20 a month. Dish. Call 1-800-943-9074 for details.
If your mom or loved one lives alone, one call to Life Watch can end your worries for their safety. We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you call us right now, we'll send you absolutely free an information-packed report on the 9 most important things you need to know to make sure your parents are safe when living alone. It's completely free. Call us right now. 800-515-6927. Put your mind at ease with Life Watch. Dial 800-515-6927.
Welcome back to Tooth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. We're very fortunate tonight to have Dr. Dan Sellner, general dentist in the Denver Tech Center, with us tonight. We've been talking about group practices as partners, and when we ended, we got back into some of the problems that patients are having with TMJ problems, temporomandibular joint problems. Dan sees that quite a bit in his practice and is one of the authorities in the Denver area who helps to treat that, and we thought we would continue to explore that to some degree. And over the break, we were talking a little bit about the fact that you had a patient that actually got you into that mode of therapy and kind of
right
down the track and learning
a
lot about it.
So I was probably about 2 years out of dental school, and I had a patient come into my office, nicest woman in the world. She had a bridge, which is if a person is missing a single tooth, you connect to the two teeth on either side. And she had an existing bridge in her mouth that had a cavity underneath it and needed to be replaced. And I thought, okay, I can do this. And I took the bridge off, and she had had a lot of complaints of jaw problems and grinding her teeth and headaches and popping in her jaw joint. And at the time, I didn't have an understanding of, you know, exactly what to do about that. So I took the bridge off. I made my impressions. I made a temporary crown. I struggled to get her bite in the right place. And I called her that evening to see how she was doing. And I remember fairly clearly that her exact words almost were, "Well, I don't know exactly what you did wrong, but you really screwed up my bite." And so that's kind of not what you want to hear when you're calling your patient in the evening. So I talked with a friend of mine who told me that I needed to call this dentist whose name was John Bassett, and he was the local guru on bites, and he could fix it. So long story short, I sent the patient to Dr. Bassett, and he ended up treating her and getting her occlusion in the right place and fixing her up. And he made the splint, which we'll talk about in a second. And then I decided to buy him lunch to thank him for helping the patient out. And he told me at lunch that, you know, that he had been involved for a long time with a group that taught dentists about bites and how to fix stuff and identify problems so that that didn't happen. So I took the courses, and that's the way I met Dr. Bassett and Dr. Wallace. And so the interesting thing about it, what was by far the biggest disaster I had had at the beginning of my practice turned out to be a blessing, because that problematic situation led me to, you know, meeting them, and then me getting an understanding that I didn't know that I didn't know. And I took the courses, and I got the understanding. And for the last 10 years or so, I've had the privilege, I guess, of helping with teaching some of the classes. I'm involved with that same group now with teaching occlusion courses to dentists. And Ken, going back to kind of your question about, you know, what is this appliance thing? And it's not a washer or a dryer. But a lot of people are familiar with a night guard. That is something that a lot of people have at least heard the name of. And do we make night guards in our practice? We absolutely do. It's a hard, clear acrylic upper appliance, similar in material to what a lot of people would associate with a retainer, and allows us to put something between the patient's teeth, which we can adjust to get their bite to an even and comfortable position. If it's a night guard, it's typically fitting on the upper teeth, and it's something that the patient is just wearing at night. And that can be very helpful for people with muscle problems and headaches and kind of a nighttime and awareness of a problem. When we're talking about the splint and the true TMJ patients, those are patients that we feel pretty strongly that just wearing something at night is only going to touch part of the problem, because during the day you take it out and the teeth are, if they're not fitting together properly, that bite can very well be causing the problem. And what I didn't realize at the time I saw that patient way back when was she presented with every warning sign of a problem. She had all the signs and symptoms. And if she was coming in my office today, I would be doing a lot of things differently, where I would be evaluating her bite and I would be addressing those needs and deciding if we needed to get her bite to a more stable place first. She would probably wear a splint, which is similar to a night guard, that it goes in between the teeth. But part of the problems with night guards is they're very difficult to speak with. And when we have patients who have those kind of problems and they need to wear it all the time, we make splints that fit on the lower teeth, and we make them so that there's a little layer of clear acrylic that goes over the front teeth that we shape exactly like the teeth that are there. So it helps with speech, and it tends to be fairly cosmetic. We have young ladies who wear them to high school and are willing to wear them because they help their problem so much. And then the mode of treatment is to make the splint, make them comfortable, prove that we can make them comfortable by getting the bite to a better position. And then what the patient notices is, golly, when I take the splint thing out, now my teeth don't fit together. So the second phase of the treatment is sorting out how far off the bite is and deciding what it's going to take to get the bite in the right place, because, you know, especially for younger people, you're laying the table for them for the rest of their lives, and you have to figure out, you know, what it's going to take to get their bite to the right place, which could involve braces. A lot of times it's sending to an orthodontist. It could be a bite adjustment. It just depends on the particular situation.
Now, you mentioned a night guard, and both Kenny and I have had patients that said they had a night guard. And when we asked them further, they talk about a night guard they got at like a Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that. What's right. your thoughts on
something like that? There's a dentist who's a lecturer that over the course of like 20 years, when the patient said they had a night guard, he took photos of them. And he has a slide in his presentation which shows all the different things. And when someone says they have a night guard, the first thing you have to do is ask to see it, because there's a lot of different things that are called night guards. Ours typically are, you know, the harder acrylic, which allows you a real stable place to bite and you can adjust it nicely. When the soft night guards came out, we all thought, oh, good, here's a cheap option that's going to work and it's going to put something in between the teeth. But lots of studies have shown that if you have a person who wants to clench and grind and you put something soft in there, yes, it's something in between their teeth, but it actually typically will cause them to want to clench and grind more.
Right.
So it tends to exacerbate the symptoms that they're having with either headaches or problems in their jaw joint and, you know, those kinds of things.
One of the things, Doug, that I like about Dr. Sellner, and I really respect, he is so modest. So he talked about he is now helping to teach other dentists. He does this internationally. He goes around the world to give these classes and to help train these dentists to help their patients. And That's something, Dan, that you should be extremely proud of.
Yeah, one day maybe he'll even invite us to go with him.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can get you guys through customs. Yes, so Dr. Bassett has taught, he started going with the group over to England over 30 years ago, and I've been fortunate that multiple times to be able to travel over to different places in England, and it's very interesting to go to a different country because we all kind of get, you know, settled on our own paradigm and office. The differences between offices in the United States we might think are pretty great, but when you go to a different country, and in England there's the dentists tend to have one chair, and they have one dental assistant, and they see, you know, one patient at a time, and it takes a really long time to do things, and things that we take for granted, like you know, kids having braces to straighten out their teeth, and things that are just run of the mill here are, and it's not necessarily wrong. It's just different there, and I've been very lucky to be able to have some of those experiences. Yeah.
So one of the hot topics now in dentistry is relating to sleep apnea.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of different appliances used in regards to treating people with apneic activity. One of the things I know is to try and help get them off the CPAP, or at least give them the possibility of getting off of that.
Right.
And I know you've studied that quite a bit, and both you and some of your partners are very active in looking at that. Maybe you could comment a little bit about how that's helping patients. And
right. Well, we started to see and hear a lot, probably 3-4, maybe as many as 5 years ago, lots of conversations about sleep apnea. And it's one of those topics that while I feel like we've learned a lot about it, I feel like it's still very much a work in progress, and it's something that you really have to stay current with. One of the things that makes it a little different from some of the things that we do is it is very definitely a medical issue. And we feel pretty strongly that I'm a dentist, and there's a lot of things that I'm qualified to do, but we very much want to work in concert with someone from the medical community when we're dealing with a patient who has that problem. So we see two kinds of patients in our office. One patient is a patient who comes in who has absolutely no awareness that they might have a problem. And as we meet them and talk to them, and they're aware of snoring, and you ask them questions, and their spouse is telling them that there's times at night where they're gasping for air and they're not breathing, and then they're having a hard time staying awake during the day, and they're falling asleep at the traffic light. I mean, a lot of those things are signs that you're having an issue.
What about just the typical snoring patient?
You know, it's something that most of us, myself included, snore at times, and especially for males who are in our age range. If you're that 10 to 20 pounds overweight, and you have that extra glass of wine, and you lay on your back, you know, you're going to snore. And historically, that's been dismissed, I think, as, oh, it's just something that happens. And the problem is you really need to look at snoring as a sign potentially of a bigger problem. And one of the things that we learned as a mode of trying to sort these things out is we have a couple of pulse oximeters in our office, and we have the ability to send the patient home with a pulse oximeter. And for people who aren't familiar with what that is, if you get surgery done and you're sedated, they have means in the hospital of testing your pulse oxygen to be sure you're still breathing and things are fine, and there's a certain level of oxygen that's supposed to be in your blood. And the pulse oximeter is taped to your finger, and then it's connected to a little piece that looks like a wristwatch. And we send people home, and they wear it for typically 3 nights. They turn it on before they go to sleep, wear it, turn it off in the morning. They bring it in after the 3 days. We plug the information to the computer, and it spits out a report for us, which it's a screening device that can tell us what's the pulse oxygen level. Is the patient having any apneic events? Where an apnea, for people who aren't aware, it's where the patient can literally stop breathing. And it is a very real medical condition that can be a very scary thing. And if the results of the pulse oximeter give us reason to believe that this patient could have a moderate or severe sleep apnea problem, typically what we are doing is referring that patient to a medical doctor, a sleep doctor. Perhaps their internist is a man or woman who has some knowledge about it, and usually the patient is getting a sleep study. The sleep study is the best way for the patient for them to really sort out and measure what is going on. If typically in this day and age, if patients have moderate to severe sleep apnea, it's recommended that they have a CPAP machine, which most people are familiar with. And for people who are able to wear CPAP machines, a lot of those people really feel like it changes their life for the better during the waking hours. The sleeping hours are not so good for everybody else in the house because it's so loud, but it can make a difference in those people's lives. For some people who either have a more mild form of sleep apnea or who just cannot tolerate the CPAP machines, there are devices that we as dentists can make and some physicians make, which are called mandibular advancement devices. MADS is the acronym. And in essence, what they do is posture the lower jaw forward, and the appliances are made so that you can't move your jaw back. And by pushing your jaw forward, it opens up the airway, allows more oxygen to flow in. And we have the ability to check with the pulse oximeters and the patient's symptoms, and usually by a follow-up sleep study to see and to be able to measure if we're helping the patients.
Now, if somebody had this problem and they wanted to come see you, mm-hmm. how would they get a hold of you to contact you? What's your website? What's your phone numbers?
Well, our... The phone number for our office is 720-488-9090. Our website is www.denvertechdentistry.com. Our office is in the tech center. One thing I should mention, my younger partner, now that I'm kind of the oldest, is Andrea Taylor. And Andrea has had a particular interest in this, and she, a lot of the stuff that I have learned from this, she has helped me with learning. And she tends to see a few more of these patients than I do, because she is one of the providers for Kaiser for making the mandibular advancement devices for Kaiser patients who they have identified would benefit from that. And but in essence, what would happen is people would come in, we would go through the screening exam that we do. In a lot of instances, the patient already has a dentist who's cleaning their teeth and doing their fillings and all that kind of stuff. And we try to sort out where patients are with it. And sometimes what patients find out is the dentist who they've been seeing can actually treat this stuff, and they just didn't know it, because it's not something that it's becoming more and more visible and talked about. And again, it's another reason that makes me happy that I'm not, you know, doing the root canals and all that other kind of stuff, because this is something that very much ties in with what we're doing with the restorative aspect of stuff. And one thing I probably should mention is we see a lot of patients who have both the sleep apnea problem and they also have the TMJ problem with their joints. And sometimes kind of the difficulty is figuring out which is where you want to start. So,
you know, Doug, as I sit here and listen to Dan, I'm also having an opportunity to observe him across the table. And I've realized that he is the perfect guest for this show, because he has a face for radio.
I have a big chin.
Yeah. All right, we'll go take another break here, and then we'll get back on the other side. I'm your host, Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman from Periodontal Associates, www.periodontalhealth.com. We'll talk to Dan Sellner on the other side.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no. Has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-8386. That's 800-953-8386. 800-953-8386.
Have you ever wondered how you could make a difference in someone's life? What if you could help hundreds or even thousands of children? Students in the U.S. rank 32nd in world math skills. It's time for our children to catch up. Become an owner of one of the world's fastest-growing franchises, Mathnasium. Mathnasium is the leading math-only learning center in the U.S. Imagine helping hundreds, even thousands of students in your community improve in school and raise their self-esteem. Call us at 800-783-0798. That's 800-783-0798.
Dr. Doug Heller and my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman, with our special guest, Dr. Dan Sellner, general dentist in the tech center. And we had been talking about a lot of kind of big problem areas, kind of sleep apnea, TMJ type stuff. I'd like to switch some of the conversation over to some of the newer technology kind of going on in dental offices today, and maybe have you comment a little bit on some of that. I know you guys have a E4D machine. I don't even know what E4D stands for, so maybe you could tell me that. But it seems like it's kind of like a 3D printing machine for crowns and bridges and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I'd like you to kind of tell Kenny and I a little bit about when you use it, how you use it, who's a candidate for it, mm-hmm. Why you'd want to use it, you know, all of the above, so to speak.
Okay. I am very lucky. We are very lucky in our office, and our situation is a little unique in that we, ever since I have been around in my group practice, have an in-office laboratory, and we have always had two technicians who work in our lab who do all of our lab work. So most all of our crowns and veneers and all the cosmetic treatment and that stuff has always been done on site,
And that's very unusual.
Yes. And it's when I spent my first 7 years by myself, I didn't have that luxury. If I tried in a crown and I looked at it and the color was off, I was putting the temporary back on and sending the patient and the crown down the few miles away drive to the lab and having them do it and then coming back. The advantage we have now is because the lab person is there at the beginning of the appointment to look at it and try it in, we're less likely to not have something that matches to our satisfaction. But if we do, we have the ability to make those changes right there. And in most instances, we can solve the problem.
So it really allows you to maintain the highest level of quality control.
Yes. And your expectations tend to go up, which is good for everybody. In our office, just talking about crowns, since you asked about that, we have the ability to do gold crowns, and there are still some instances where we feel like that's a good thing to do. We have the ability to do the traditional older style of porcelain crowns, which are kind of a metal core underneath on the inside and porcelain on the outside, so that typically you're not going to see the metal. And the newer crowns that you're talking about are crowns which are all porcelain. There's no metal in them, and the technology that has really come so far in the last handful of years allows us to completely change the way we deliver a crown for a patient. Typically, and a lot of people have had a crown, you numb the patient, shape up the tooth, make up an impression, make a temporary crown, which the patient goes home with. They come back in 2 weeks and they get their crown cemented. It's two visits. You have the hassle of the temporary. They might have to get numb a couple times. And with the new technology, you prepare the tooth. And rather than making an impression, a mechanical impression, you wheel in your cart with the computer on it and you scan with with digital pictures. So you have a three-dimensional image of the crown in the computer. We just, earlier this week, got an update to our computer where rather than taking a whole bunch of individual pictures that are sewn together, you turn the camera on and it's actually a video image, and you just slowly go over the tooth from a couple angles, and in a matter of seconds you have your impression in the computer.
Then so you got to have some computer skills to do this,
well,
too, right?
The nice thing about it is, I went to the course initially and I went through it, but between our lab people and our assistants, we have some very skilled people who help us at that point. And what they're able to do is we sit the patient open, and the patient's always, they bring a book, but they tend to not read their book now. They tend to watch what they're doing, and they see their tooth now in the computer in seconds. And then the assistant goes in and finds the margin where they want the crown to be. The computer gives a proposal for what the shape of the crown should be and where the bite should be. And then we go in and we're able to move the crown where we want, make it taller, make it longer, make the grooves deeper, whatever we think is the best for that situation, for that patient. And within a matter of minutes, you have designed the crown. And then you push a button and it's hooked wirelessly to the mill, which is back in the lab. And within about 20 minutes, you put a block of porcelain, which is the shade of the crown that you want, into the mill. And within about 20 minutes, it mills out the crown. Our lab technician or the assistant removes the crown, takes it out, polishes it, glazes it, stains it, and literally within a matter of minutes, we have the permanent crown ready to go back and try in.
So you've gone from 2 weeks to about an hour.
Well, within usually our goal, because of the time it takes to prepare the tooth and then the milling, and then typically within a three-hour window, and under 3 hours, our goal is to be completely done. We try it back in now. We take an x-ray, and we have the digital x-rays, which allow us to immediately see an image, and there's much less radiation with the digital x-rays. That's another technological advantage. And then we are able to bond that crown into there, and it's just amazing. I'd like to think I haven't been doing this that long, but had you told me when I was in dental school that, at this point in my career, we would fairly routinely, hardly a day goes by where we don't have a patient who's getting a restoration done in the same
day. Back when you
were
in dental school, it was rotary phones, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, just clarifying.
And the other thing about it, we're just talking about crowns right now, but I had a patient last week who we did four veneers, which is, it's similar to a crown, but it's a partial coverage, and it tends to be on the front teeth. And we have the ability with the machine to do veneers also. Sometimes with the cosmetic cases, we make a decision to take an impression and do it on a model, just because it's so critical in the front of patients' mouths that everything is totally perfect. We are still using, it's just unbelievable to me how much we are using the technology and the machine, and the results are just fabulous, and patients really like the same day treatment, and they also appreciate the cosmetics. A lot of patients have porcelain crowns that have metal underneath, and over time they see a little gray line, or there's a problem with the coloration, and because there's no metal, that problem just doesn't tend to be there.
One quick question, Dan, because sure. I think you glossed over it. You talked about staining.
Mm-hmm.
Now, any dentist could buy a machine and mill the crown,
mm-hmm.
but without having the laboratory technician right there on site in your office,
right?
If I'm correct, they can't do that customized staining, or it'd be very difficult for them to
do that.
Well,
you could buy the gear and you could do that, but part of the issue, and I think it kind of wraps around to what we were talking about before. If I was the one who had to do the staining and do all that kind of stuff, I would prefer to have somebody who has years and years of experience, and that's all they're going to do. And that portion of the treatment is their deal. And last week, I got a very complimentary thank you from a patient who's been a personal friend of mine since she was very young. And she had some veneers done in her front teeth. She had some issues and broken some teeth. And in the thank you note, I was mentioned kind of briefly at the beginning, and then there was a paragraph about the person in my lab, Chelsea, who made the stuff and designed it and how skilled she was. And then the next paragraph was about the assistant who had helped. And it's just part of what makes what we do, and I think our style of practice so enjoyable, is it's fun to see the successes and to know that I was only a part of what made it work.
And the end result is you have a well-treated and happy patient, which is terrific.
Absolutely. No
and it
question.
Always takes a great team to make that happen as
it
well.
Does. I mean,
in all our offices. So
no
something
question.
Something that's very dear to Doug and I, because it's a big part of our practice, is dental implants.
Right.
And we know you restore a lot of implants. I wonder if you'd talk a little bit about how that has changed the way we help patients who are missing teeth.
You bet. So implants are something, you know, when I started in practice, every week I might see a patient who I felt like was a candidate for implants, or we were dealing with it. The bottom line today is there's not a day goes by that implants, I mean, it's an everyday routine conversation, either because the patient has implants that are already in, which they're are servicing them very well, and we're talking about maintaining them and cleaning them, or we're talking about how can they be a part of the plan, you know, for you in the future. The areas that we use them range from a person who is missing a single tooth, and they can have a single implant with a crown on it to address that issue, all the way up to patients who are either missing or going to lose all their teeth in one arch or in their entire mouth. And implants can be used either just a couple of implants as an aid to hold a traditional denture in place. Or we'll see patients who say, geez, I hear about these teeth that I don't have to take out, and I'd really like to do that. And we have the ability with, you know, typically four implants on an arch to get the implants placed in conjunction with, say, you guys as the surgeon, and then we make the denture or whatever the tooth's prosthetic situation is going to be that's going to screw into that, so they don't have to take it out. And implants, because of the, you know, the ability of it to retain whatever it is that the we're trying to put in for the patient, and what it does to protect the bone, because when a tooth is taken out, if nothing is put in there, it's just amazing to watch over the years how the bone can just shrink away. And if you get to that point, sometimes your options are just a lot more limited. So we love the implants in there to protect the bone.
One of the misconceptions, and you kind of briefly touched on it, is the number of implants needed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've had patients come in and see us that think if they're missing seven teeth in a row, that they need seven implants.
Right.
And that's really not the case. And so...
Right. Well, and typically the way and again, I'm working this this situation up with the patient and with whoever the specialist is going to help us with placing the implants. It just depends on what the patient wants. If those seven teeth are missing and the they're all in one arch and the patient doesn't mind and wants, is okay with a removable option, some kind of a partial. Sometimes with one or two implants, you can come up with a very desirable result. In other situations, if the patient says, gosh, I really don't want to take something out, then we can plan out, is it going to take three implants, four implants?
Right, you know, but you can do three or four teeth on two implants.
You
or
bet.
Something
and
like that.
And it's just a matter of figuring out the how the mechanics are going to work the best.
Right.
Yep.
And then you have to go all the way full circle back to the bite.
You bet.
And to make sure that the bite is very
no
accurate.
No question. Yep. There are huge advantages to implants. They don't get cavities, which a lot of people have had that problem with their teeth. They never need root canals. Root implants typically don't break. We all see it very occasionally. But the two things that can catch up with implants is either gum issues because they're not taken care of properly, or if the bite is not in the right place. And it is hugely critical that the when you have implant restorations, whether it's dentures, partials, crowns, bridges, that the bite is taken care of.
Yeah, typically I'll tell my patients that they're with dental implants, it may be the least costly long-term dentistry you ever do.
Yeah.
And with that, they have two obligations. One, they got to take care of it. And two, they got to promise to live a long time.
Yeah.
So
that works for me.
You know, and Doug and I, as two individuals who place implants and do the implant surgery, we could tell the audience about the experience that patients have. But we'd like to hear it from you.
Sure.
When they come in, do they tell you, boy, that was an easy procedure, difficult procedure? What is your experience with those patients?
Well, my experience, and obviously there's a range. Some people have a little more issue than others. But typically, if a patient is getting a tooth removed and then having an implant placed, if the tooth was infected by the time it got out, usually the complaints that people have are more related to, gosh, it took a little while to heal, or maybe I had a little swelling more related to the infection. But usually in terms of the actual placement of the implant, when the patients are talking about it, generally speaking, they tend to be expressing, I thought it was going to be horrible, and it really wasn't that bad. And it healed well, and it was kind of noisy. But, you know, normally when people get to the end, if you say, okay, if your neighbor was going to go get an implant, what would you tell them? More often than not, people say, you know, go ahead, get it done. And they'd probably just encourage them to see somebody who was going to do it well.
Great. Great.
So before we get off the air, you know, I wanted to make mention, and Kenny said it early on, that you are the team dentist for the Avalanche, and I think the Colorado Avalanche, that is. And I think that's a testament, again, to your skills. You know, the Denver Broncos, they probably don't need a lot of teeth work. The typical hockey player may need a little bit more than the average sports people. So I think that's pretty cool, and that's probably been a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, this is my first year doing it, and it's been a very fun year to be able to do it, and I'm biased because hockey has always been sort of my passion. But hockey players as a group are just a phenomenal group of humans.
And to clarify, you are taking new patients, correct?
Yes.
And how would they get a hold
of
you?
Whether
again?
You're a hockey player or not.
Right, right. What's your website phone number again?
So our website is www.denvertechdentistry.com. And our phone number is 720-488-9090.
Great. Thank you for sharing with us tonight. It's been a pleasure having you.